Thank you, Chris, and hello again. So we've been up that mountain of faith, and last week we reached that summit of eternal hope. And today we're going to go wee down the mountain. So Romans 9:11, which Chris has already said, the Bible Society talk about as being the mystery of God. So when I was asked to preach, I thought, oh, mystery of God, that'd be good. When I went to London Bible College, I shared a lift with a chap called Mark, who is a good friend, and we used to discuss some of the lectures we had. And when we came back, I'd say, well, what on earth was all that about? And he'd be driving along and he'd go, mystery, it's a mystery. and we used to sing quite a lot of songs to each other in that way. Anyway, when I think about God and mystery, I think of lots of things. Oh, where are we? Are you doing it, Jacob, or am I? I'll do it, shall I? We can absolutely know God. There's no question about that. We can know God, but it would be wrong to assume that we could know God absolutely. Clever, isn't it? Romans 9 to 11. Paul is grappling with these questions about God's sovereignty, his election, his plan for Israel, all which have a practical outworking for the church in first century Rome. And Paul was making lots of points, and these points are very relevant for us today. And there's two that I really want to highlight today. And the first is that God's message of salvation is non-exclusive. It's for everybody. Whatever their background, their status, their appearance, their nationality, their religion, their intelligence, the culture, or the colour of their skin. The message is for everyone. It's for Jew and non-Jew. And what is the message? Well, we can sum it up in three words. Jesus is Lord. But that might need a little bit of unpacking. The other question, what is salvation? So salvation is, I think, or I understand or believe, it's about becoming whole. It's about becoming truly human. That's what God is offering us. He's offering us the opportunity to become the people that he wants us to be, truly human people, just like Jesus was. So he's offering us that opportunity to become whole, living an abundant full life with God today and now. So that's the first point. And then the second thing is that those who know the message are called to share it. We are called to share what God has done in our lives and for us with others. If you declare with your mouth, this is Romans 10, verse 9 to 15. If you declare with, oh, where are we? Yeah, sorry, so missed a bit. We're to be heralds of the good news, but not those sort of heralds. Those sort of heralds, happy people, or people who are in relationship with each other who've got a good message to share. Sorry. So let's go on then. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how do people come to know Jesus as Lord? Paul's been struggling with this question throughout Romans. He's explained how the law was established to unite us with God, but the law can't save because no one can obey it completely. None of us is perfect, and we can't earn our salvation. We simply have to receive it. So the purpose of the law is not actually to tell us what to do. So says Paul, the purpose of the law is to refer us to Christ, who has arrived and is present with us now. Jesus completes the work of the law by making us right with God. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Hallelujah. And the amazing truth and reality now is that everyone has been included in this promise. The promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1-3. That promise that all peoples on earth will be blessed through you, allowing them to become children of God. So this is God's essential mission and message, that everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God. And it's very, very radical. It's very radical. Paul has lamented that his own people, the nation of Israel, have failed to see that Jesus is the very Messiah that they've been waiting for. Because it isn't the law that saves, but it's faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have that faith, who have received Jesus, are welcome in the kingdom. So God has done the work and brought his message to us in a person. And I love that passage in John chapter 1. The word became, which in the Message version, the word became flesh and blood when Jesus moved into the neighbourhood. It's quite profound that the God of mission has come amongst us to dwell and live with us. So God has already done the heavy lifting work through the work of Jesus Christ, his life and his death on the cross. But what is our part? What does it mean to believe in our hearts and confess with our lips? It means our faith must be proactive, not passive. I don't know if you ever saw a Louis Theroux program where he was interviewing and talking to lots of people in the evangelical churches in the States. And he interviewed this lovely lady. But at the end, she sort of put a hand on his shoulder and said, "Louis, just say it, just say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus, just say it." And he couldn't say it, so he didn't say it. But the thing that all she thought, that what came across was all she, that what she thought was, if he just said it, he would be saved. If he just said, Jesus is Lord, he'd be saved. Well, I think the Christian life is a bit more complicated than that. So to believe in our hearts, it's not just a concept, it's a truth to live by. Our faith is not just to be restricted to our minds. We are called to love the Lord with all our hearts, our minds, our soul, and our strength. And we're called to put our faith into action, to give him our whole selves every day. And to confess with our lips, well, it includes saying Jesus is Lord. But I think it means we're to share with one another what God has done in our lives, how he's transformed us and changed us, and that we must share this abundant life he's given us, because it can be so easily hidden, can't it? Our life is hidden with Christ. When we have our prayer times on our own, we don't share them with anyone. It's a personal relationship. That's what we're always talking about, that personal relationship. But we need to get it out there and share with one another what God has done for us. And it's more important than the price of eggs, or even who's going to be president of the United States of America. So what Paul the Apostle is urging in these few verses is that whole life response, a life of inward and outward integrity, a life based on faith and looking outwards to those around us. And I think probably, you know, in our house groups or when we meet with one another, we do share what God's done in our lives. But do we share that naturally with people who we think are non-believers? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was the pastor and theologian of the church just in Germany, just as the Second World War was breaking out, said, "Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their belief in God." Is that challenging? It really is. And I think one of the challenges that we face today is that we live in such a fragmented society. So we may live really Christian lives, but no one sees it because we ain't sharing our lives with them. I was 30 when I came to faith, which I did on my own in the kitchen, having read a leaflet a couple of times. And for me, the sin that I confessed to was having left Jesus out of my life for 30 years. And I cried buckets. But a little while after that, I thought, I'm 30. You know, surely I've met a Christian and nobody has told me the good news. You would have thought that somebody amongst my friendship group would have been a Christian and would have said something. So I'd been going along to church, I'd met people, I'd listened to sermons and prayers, but no one had actually personally shared their faith with me, including my dear friend Vicky, who we're still friends with and who was a Christian. But why hadn't they? What stops us sharing our faith with one another? So how do people come to know Jesus is Lord? Well, it doesn't happen in a vacuum. Verses 14 and 15 go on. How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You can't call on the name of the Lord unless you believe Jesus is Lord. You can't believe unless you've heard the good news that Jesus is Lord. You can't hear the good news unless someone tells you how Jesus is Lord. You can't tell someone how Jesus is Lord unless you go to them. So, we are called to mission. It isn't something that other people do. I think there's folks in the church who find evangelism easy and others who find it difficult. But perhaps some of us leave it to the experts, the church leaders or the evangelists, and we support them as they share the good news. But no, as soon as we say yes to Jesus, he calls each of us to be his ambassadors, his heralds, the bringers of this great good news to others. So this morning is our opportunity to reflect and think about how we might be doing that. And it is hard because we do live in this culture which predominantly seeks to nullify the existence of God and go it alone. There are some things that I think are important as we think about how we share our faith with others. And the first is that in our world, all of us need to know that God loves us. That's where healing is, that's where hope is, that's where tomorrow is knowing that God loves us. So that's an essential ingredient. And the other essential ingredient in whatever we might share with others is that God wants everyone in his kingdom. He wants our friends, our neighbours, the people we work with in his kingdom. He wants everyone in his kingdom. And the other thing is to be aware of what Chris spoke about a few weeks ago, to beware of doing the easy thing and sharing the express gospel that Jesus died for our sins simply so that we could go to heaven, because our faith is much bigger than that. God calls us into his abundant life now. So we were to wake up spiritually because Jesus is God's chosen anointed one and he's with us right now. His rule has already begun on earth as in heaven. and we can be part of the kingdom now. One Good Friday a few years ago, I think I'd led the Good Friday service in the village or something. Anyway, I had my dog collar on, and I went to the dump. I'd forgotten that I had it on, otherwise I would have taken it off. And I had a whole load of dumped rubbish to take, so I'd gone to the recycling centre, and I sort of forgot that I had it on. Anyway, I opened the boot and started getting rubbish out, and the two bin men, they sort of came across and said, "Oh, can we give you a hand?" And they said, "Oh, you're a holy person. Yeah, we'll help you. Get us points in heaven," they were saying like that. And one of them said, "Oh, yeah. It's that special time of year, isn't it? Easter. Easter, when Jesus is born," he says like that. And I didn't know quite what to do with it. I thought, anyway, they looked at me and said, "There, we've done a good deed now. Will you pray for us?" They said like that. I thought, I must wear my dog collar more often, really. But it's very interesting. But the thing that came out of that for me was they knew the name of Jesus, but they had no knowledge. Nothing to build it on or anything. And they had a desire to be good people as well, which most people do. Anyway, I don't know why I thought that was important to share, but it is. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "In your hearts revere Christ as Lord, and always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So if we lead these lives that point to God, to Jesus, it should be that it causes questions in the people that we share our lives with, so that they ask us, that we don't have to impose anything on them. They want to know because they see that we've got something that they haven't and they want it. So some things to think about. It's all very well, folks up the front sharing what we believe the good news story, but you've all had your own experiences. So to give you some space to think about how you would vocalise your personal good news story, who is Jesus to you, and how would you explain why you have faith in him to someone who asked? Also, just to look at, identify those in your amongst your family and friends or neighbours, work colleagues. One or two people, some of you will be doing this, I know, but anyway, to identify them who don't yet know Jesus or have any idea that God loves them, that the gospel is for them, that they are needed and required to be in God's kingdom, and pray for opportunities to share for your faith in Jesus and explain what difference he's made in your life. And then just a reminder that next week is Community Sunday, which is an ideal opportunity to invite those friends and family members, neighbours, to come along to the different activities. So I'm going to give you space now to think about those things and just try and clarify in your mind how you would explain your faith, and also to identify who you might want to pray for this week and ongoing weeks in your family and friends. But I'll just finish with a prayer and then we'll have a time of quiet. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, we thank you for the mystery of your salvation, how you called us out and brought us into your kingdom. And we thank you for the works you've done in our lives. Help us to be a little more bold, a little more brave in the conversations we have with those around us. Help us to be ready to share the reason for the hope that you've given us. Help us to love the people around us whose lives we share and be heralds of good news. Amen.